Before that, I want to look at the deepest level of consciousness, the eighth consciousness. And this is called the Alaya Vijnana, the store consciousness. This is deep, it's unconscious, you can't really be aware of it. But don't associate it with the unconscious of Jung. There are parallels and maybe overlaps, but be very careful not to make facile correspondences. The Alaya is, it literally means store. The Alaya is a store because it collects the effects of our actions, of our volitional actions. If we act out of greed or hate or jealousy or conceit or any of their refinements, their effects don't vanish into space. They're stored in the Alaya. And the same with good things. If we act out of kindness, of love, of faith, intelligence, generosity and so on, the effects go into the Alaya. These effects are called vasanas, which means perfume or traces. The depths of our minds are touched, perfumed by what we have done. And when conditions are right, those traces will be activated. We'll do those things again or suffer the consequences of those actions. Sometimes the vasanas are called bijas or seeds. So the effects of our actions are like seeds that drop into the Alaya and then sprout, rise up when conditions are appropriate, are right, as it were. They might rise up as some terrifying poisonous plant or like a beautiful sweet-smelling flower, depending on what we've put in. Vasana, perfume, traces, can also be have also been called by D.T. Suzuki. He's translated them as habit energies, which I think is really good. Habit energies. Puts it very well. Our actions create habit energies in the depths of our being that rise again and again and yet again. And of course, there are enormous implications and ramifications of this. What we put into the mind doesn't vanish. It will have an effect. The Alaya is likened to a river and an ocean. So what we need, I think, is an ecology of consciousness. I think Gregory Bateson used the term, wrote a book called Steps to an Ecology of Mind. I think it's a brilliant insight, brilliant phrase, an ecology of mind. So Buddhism is an ecology of consciousness, an ecology of mind, spiritual ecology. We get very concerned, quite rightly, about the poisoning of our rivers and oceans, all the effluent, the raw sewage, the crap that we just throw into it, pour into it. But what about the mind? What about the sewage, the crap, the rubbish that we just tip in on a daily basis? What about the anxiety? I mean, that really is like some stinky chemical that we're just pouring into the depths of our mind, or the resentment and the ill will, like so much crap, just pouring in. It's all sewage and crap that we're just pouring into the mind, into the depths of the mind. And it leaves its effect. Its effect is pain and suffering. You know, and further resentment and ill will and greed and anxiety. We're just pouring it in. And it's just going on, just running on. You know, like some of those polluted rivers you see in India, which were some weird colour, you know, from all the chemicals that they're pouring into it, some lurid red. Sometimes people wonder, we can see it much more clearly in others than we can in ourselves. Sometimes people wonder why they are the way they are. You know, they sort of scratch their head. They wonder why am I so unhappy? Why am I so miserable? And you can, and their friends are standing around, well, I could tell you why you are the way you are, because of the crap you put into your consciousness, the effluent that you're dumping into yourself on a regular basis. Sorry to sound so drastic, but it's true. And it's not one-sided. That's the negative. But when we act well, out of love and integrity and awareness and understanding, we really do perfume the mind. We clean and cleanse the mind. We seed the depths with wonderful spiritual potentialities, which can be activated and reactivated again and again. And this is why Buddhism places so much importance on regularity of practice, repeated practice, where you do the same practice every day, several times a day, while you repeat mantra, while you read and reread the same Buddhist text year in and year out. You're fully seeding the alaya. And it also means, why Buddhism says, well, just cut the unskillful habits. Just stop pouring the shit into the mind. Some people think that the alaya vijnana is a kind of Buddhist soul, but the Lankavatara Sutra and the Yogacara people say, well, no, not at all, because it's nothing fixed. If it was, there could not be spiritual transformation. The metaphors for the alaya are of a torrent, a river running along, a river of habit energy, or it's the image, the alaya, of the ocean stirred by waves with all our restless habits. So the river and the ocean are in no way fixed and immutable. The alaya is also called ashraya, which means the base or the basis, because it's the basis of our ignorance. It's the basis for our samsaric mind, our mind of restriction. And ignorance and samsara are only dealt with when the basis is dealt with, when there is what's called the revolution in the basis, the revolution in the basis, the turning about in the deepest seat of consciousness. But I prefer that revolution in the base. So this is why the defiled mind consciousness is so embedded, why this sense of self and other is so embedded, the seventh consciousness, you know, just above the alaya, as it were. Our habit energy is constantly reinforcing our sense of self and other. Our greed, our hatred, our ignorance is constantly reinforcing that sense of self and other. Over and over again, we do things that reinforce self and other. We set up barriers, and we've been doing this since beginningless time. Another way you could look at this, why this sense of self and other arises, is that you have, the alaya is a kind of sense of continuity. You have a kind of sense of continuity in your life. And you take that as somehow a permanent self to stand on with the world out there. But of course, it's not actually like that if we look into it. In deep meditation, with the eye of insight, you will not find any permanent entity, either outside or inside. Just a flow of mutually conditioning states in which there's no separation between self and other. There's just a flow of experience, to use that word, with a subjective and an objective pole, as it were. And you cannot find where one begins and the other ends. In the end, all is nothing but mind, nothing but awareness. No self and other, just the rich flow of non-dual awareness, rich and luminous and mysterious, empty and compassionate. I hope from this you're getting some sense of the depth of the mind, of consciousness, and why spiritual life is so demanding, dealing with those deep habit energies. So how to work, how to practice,